Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good times.
But so many poor choices.
Wrong letter.
This is the Homance Chronicles, and I am Sarah.
And I'm Nicole. Found the button.
I was quoting Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, because that comes, you know, right off the dome.
Yeah, well, Yzma is legendary, so I like them apples.
I never know movie quotes. Never.
I know. I still do them with you. I don't care.
I know that they are movie quotes, but I just don't know where they came from, who said them, why they're usually applicable to the current situation.
Out of context, they mean nothing to me.
I mean, sometimes even in text, especially guys quote movies a lot. And before I say what or I'm confused, I have to go, is this a movie quote? Like, to myself. Like, I have to do a process of elimination.
Okay. Before I re-engage, is this a movie quote? Oh, God, is that funny? Okay, so there's this show called Resident Alien. Have you heard of it? Have you seen it on the Netflix?
I have not seen it, but I've heard of it.
It's fucking hilarious, Nicole. It is hilarious.
The guy that's on the cover, at least for me right now, he's a blonde guy who's really funny. I've seen him in many other things.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the Pirate Steve from Dodgeball. It's him.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's fucking funny. It's funny. It's one of the best shows I've seen in a long time, where it's like, I want to watch this show, not because it's like, ooh, super dramatic, suck you in. It's just like, it's a good show to watch. I like it a lot.
That kind of reminds me of like Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Ted Lasso is like such a feel good, and it's funny, and you're just like, you know what? I'm in a better mood. Thank you,
yes.
Ted.
Yes. I wouldn't say that it's like, you know, that level of make you feel good. It's just fucking funny.
Yeah.
It's funny, and you don't feel like shit.
You gotta take a palate cleanser from the true crime sometimes, or the 90 Day Fiance. Like, you gotta take palate cleansers from that stuff.
Right. Reality TV is nuts. But yes, I highly recommend it. And so we had gotten through the first season. I was like, hey, that show's pretty good. He's like, yeah, well, good, because there's a second season, turns it on. And so we were bopping through it, and finally the last show, I was like, no, wait, no, what about season 3? Is it around? He bought Hulu subscription just so that we could watch season 3.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you guys were committed.
It's just that good. It really is. Highly recommend.
Oh, that's awesome. I saw it come up, and I didn't know why it came up now, because it's on season 2. Was it not on Netflix before, and they just got both seasons or something?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, so like, ultimately, you know, without giving things away, the blonde guy is an alien, and he came to Earth to get rid of humans to save the planet. And it's just the trials and tribulations of that, because he ends up having to take on the human form.
Okay.
And so he assumes the life of this person, and he thinks it's going to be temporary, and it's not. Turns out to not be. And it's just, it's hilarious, because it's like, you know, the social things that you and I have learned that are normal and we have to go through, like, he has no social standards. And so, like, making jokes to him is really difficult, you know, the first season.
Yeah.
So
it'd be like saying quotes to me. Just a little head nod. Huh?
Yeah. But he'll go, I do not know what you mean, and then just walk away.
I should start doing that.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I feel like y'all would resonate really a lot.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Could care less. And then just walk away.
Yes. Essentially, he's like, I do not care about your problems. And then he just walks away. They're like, but
he's town. Basically my inner monologue.
Yeah, but he's the town doctor. So he's got,
oh my care. God. That's so funny. I yeah, don't care, but I am supposed to.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's essentially like him learning human emotions. You know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's good. It's, I just can't say it enough. Anyway.
I was watching season 4 of Blown Away, the glass blowing competition show.
Ah, yes. Mm.
That came out recently. And there's a new show on Max that I'm actually kind of excited about that is scripted. It's called The Regime. It's Kate Winslet in it.
Yeah, and things for it.
Yeah, the first episode caught me by surprise a little bit. So now I'm like, I think they're on episode 3, but now I'm like, oh, good. I've got like 2 hours that I can
show
that I can really sit through.
Yeah.
But shows aside, are you ready to talk about our hoe of history today?
Oh, I am. Are you out of your new office and your new abode?
I am kind of. I mean, straight from the top, I'm going to give this writer, journalist, Lisa Bittel, Bittel, all of the credit. I'm basically, I think I'm going to read her article. She wrote it for The Conversation, and then it was published in Smithsonian Magazine.
That's pretty cool.
And so I inserted some other bits and pieces from other sources, but a lot of it's just going to be Lisa.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. Shout out to Lisa Bittel.
I unfortunately had to phone it in a little bit today due to the move.
Right.
So we didn't get to go as thorough as I'd like, but hey, you know what? We're still here and we still have a story.
Yeah, and so is Google. So if you guys have questions, Google it shit.
My hoe of history for today is Saint Brigard.
Oh.
I think that's how you say it. Brigard. I don't know. I did the pronunciation on Google and now I'm like overthinking it because it looks like Brigid, B-R-I-G-I-D.
Yeah.
And she was actually born Bridget. So, you know, this is all Irish. So I'm like,
oh, I have no idea then.
Brigard. Nope. Brigid. Brigid. We're going to call her Brigid.
And one of our
I'm
Irish
too
friends,
tired
please let us
for
know.
This today. Anybody who is Irish and knows what I'm talking about, just don't come for me. Be compassionate today as I work on very little sleep.
Use this as a teaching moment.
So, Saint Brigid.
I would say
is
Bridget.
Ireland's only woman patron saint. Okay.
Oh.
So I started thinking, who do I want to cover? And it was St. Patrick's Day over the weekend.
Boop, boop.
So on March 17th, we all celebrate the day of St. Patrick. And he's a little controversial.
He certainly is. Isn't he?
He's a little controversial. From the 5th century, he was a British bishop who went to Ireland. And the nice way of putting it is that he spread Christianity throughout Ireland, but that's not what really happened.
I'd say he kind of forced Christianity.
He was not well behaved. No. He did lots of forcing, lots of fighting, my way or the highway situation. But the story is not about him. I was like, there has to be a woman associated with St. Patrick's Day. And plus, like, why do we celebrate St. Patrick's Day the way that we do? It makes no sense to me. But I'm not Catholic or have that much Irish.
I'm Catholic and I have no fucking idea. Let's
very
be
small
honest.
Amount of Irish in me. So I was like, why are we giving our time to this guy? There's got to be a woman, right?
I'm here for this.
So in 2022, so 2 years ago.
I'm going to start by shaking my head because I know this isn't going to kick off right.
Why?
Because if it... Go ahead. Let me see if I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong, but go ahead.
So in 2022, following a 3-year campaign by the feminist organization, Her Story, the Irish government finally acknowledged Brigid's importance by declaring a new national holiday on her feast day of February 1st.
See, and this is why I'm shaking my head. Why did it take 3 years in this modern day? I just, at least it happened. Hell yeah. Go ahead, Her Story. You did it.
So part of this is that she is the first Irish woman to be recognized with her own day.
Period.
Period end. Yes.
And she's from what time?
450 or something.
Yeah. That's why I'm shaking my fucking head.
I know.
Those
I know.
Poor people are super suppressed. So I'm very happy to hear it.
Yeah. So Brigid's Day is an invitation to stop the pointless millennia-old war of Christianity versus paganism.
Mm.
That is a quote. Which okay. continues to say the wisdom and there is wisdom and beauty in both lineages. And so that came from Melanie Lynch, the founder of Her Story. So what she that was part of her speech when she was campaigning to support this new national holiday.
I can get down with that.
And part of the reason why I put this in there is because she specifically talked about the combination of Christianity and paganism instead of it being against each other, like working together, because Brigid was named after a prominent goddess who was worshipped by ancient pagan Celts. So she has the namesake of a goddess. So, but she was made to be a saint.
I mean, even better.
Right? So it's like, Why did we create problems between the two? Like, who knows?
Why did we do this? Why?
Why did we do this to ourselves?
Well, we didn't. Some men did this to us. Let's be honest. It's a small tick in time.
So Brigid, the goddess, was associated with everything from poetry, healing, metal crafting, nature, fertility, all these like compassionate, womanly things. And she was honored on the Midwinter Holy Day of Imbolc, which is still commemorated on February 1st, which mm-hmm. is the day before Groundhog's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Both are used as a symbolism of the midpoint between winter and spring, like winter solstice and spring equinox. So now you have St. Bridget's Day on February 1st.
All right. We shall celebrate here as well.
Yes. So, until now, Ireland had counted her among its three official patrons, along with St. Patrick and St. Columba, but gave workers a day off only for St. Patrick's Day. So this year, 2024, is the 1500th, 1500th anniversary of her death, and it's been gaining traction. It has a modern following now. There were festivities that took place in Ireland and around the world all last month to celebrate.
That makes me happy. On a right? sidebar, don't mean to totally derail, but I did see that the DIA is starting to give back all the Native American things that they have in their display cases. They're finding the owners and giving them back. So that's kind of
oh,
neat.
Wow.
I think that
that's
was
amazing.
Kind of, yeah, that kind of triggered that thought. Anyway, continue. Just like it's so cool to see the fact
yeah,
that
we're
cultures the opportunity to show how their cultures actually did their thing.
We're in an era of awareness and caring, and yes, David Manji, chair of Into Caldare. Caldare is a region in Ireland. He's on the local tourism board there. And he said that St. Brigid remains highly relevant. He says, what amazes me is 1,500 years later, she's still remembered with love in Caldare and Ireland. Her words, her wisdom, and her actions mean more today than they ever did when you think about how we treat our land, how we treat each other, and how we treat ourselves.
Yes.
So, unlike St. Patrick, who came from Britain, Bridget was born...
Colonialism.
Bridget was born in Ireland sometime around 450 CE.
Wait, I'm sorry. BC is before Christ. What is CE again?
I don't know what it stands for.
I'll look for it.
Okay. Early as fuck is what it means.
Oh, circa. I think it stands for circa something.
So it said that Bridget was veiled or became a consecrated virgin either through Saint Mac Cael or Bishop of Cruachan. I'm going to butcher all of these. Anyway, so she basically was named like this saint virgin. And it gave her the powers of an abbess. So an abbess is a woman who is the head of an abbey or nuns.
Okay.
So according to tradition, around 480 CE, whatever that means, Brigid founded a monastery at Caldare, and it was called Sildara or Kildara, Church of the Oak. And Brigid was with an initial group of seven companions, and so she's credited with organizing this whole communal religious life for women in Ireland. And that monastery was actually two monasteries, one for men, one for women. So she founded the first nunnery in Ireland. And so that double abbey was for monks and nuns.
That's cool.
But get this, the abbess ranked above the abbot.
Well then.
She was like, I'm starting this bitch. Guess what?
You don't get to make my rules. All right. So quickly, CE is Common Era. That's AD after death, or Anno Domini, whatever. Anyway, it's post JC's. What's it called?
Death.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. So little is known of Bridget's life, but everything I'm going to tell you is from legend, myth, folklore.
What was her timing again?
450-ish CE.
So.
And then.
450. So Attila the Hun was only 20 years before that.
I don't know what that is, but.
You don't know about the Huns? Have you never seen that Disney, that Mulan?
No.
Oh. Well, help me place myself in time. Hopefully it helped others. Otherwise, my bad.
I'm sure it did. Again, a movie reference? Come on.
Well, historical reference.
I know that was a historical reference, but when you're like, have you not seen Mulan? I'm like, no. Okay. So, everything I'm telling you is kind of based on, you know, things spreading by word of mouth. There was nothing really written down. So she was born in the province of Leinster to a noble father and enslaved mother. It said many of them said that her father was a king and that her mother was enslaved. And she was sold, her and her mother were sold to a druid. And she actually later converted the druid to Christianity. On being set free, she returned to her father, who he tried to marry her to the king of Ulster. The king was so impressed by her devoutness that he removed her from parental control. So, although there's no historical record of her missionary work, Patrick wrote two letters that still survive today. One was a defense of his missionary career, and the other a rebuke of a slave raiding British king. So, men have always been shitty, and think that they're great, and then want to tell everybody about it. And we still are like, why do you think this is brag-worthy again? Like, you know?
Here we are. Just to justify their existence. It's fine.
Oh, so stupid. So all the information we know about Bridget comes from biographies of saints written like way long after she was alive. A churchman named Cogidius was the first to write about her in about 650 CE. So like 200 years after her birth.
Jesus.
So Cogidius, I don't really know how to say his name, recounted Bridget's many purported miracles. So as a girl, she gave away her household's butter and bacon to hungry beggars and dogs, then miraculously replaced the food for her family. Later in life, she turned a wooden column into a living tree with one touch and hung her cloak on a sunbeam. After she founded the monk community at Caldera, she traveled, preached, and was said to have cured Christians of conditions such as blindness and muteness.
Nobody saw the slow blink I just gave you.
Cogidius tells us that Bridget worked some other unique marvels. She miraculously ended the unwanted pregnancy of one of her fellow sisters, causing the fetus to disappear without coming to birth and without pain. She tamed both domestic and wild animals, which was handy when her cows went astray.
Of course, of course.
She could also manipulate the landscape. Once when her kinsmen were building a plank trackway through the bogs, Bridget moved a river to make it easier for them.
This is so interesting.
Mm-hmm. So instead of battling wrongdoers, she found peaceful resolutions to violent situations. For example, she deterred a band of bloodthirsty murderers by making it appear as if they had committed a killing that never even happened.
Mm-hmm.
Even after her death, miracles supposedly continue to occur at her shrine. Bridget's intervention from beyond the grave helped builders gather materials to build a new and magnificent shrine for her at Caldera. She guided an immovable boulder down a hill to her community for their new millstone.
You're goddamn right she did. I want to know, like, if this woman was just a straight engineer. And she was like, you know what? Fuck these people. Fuck them out with some magic.
I know. This is the funny one. She caused a problematic door to hang correctly.
Oh, no. She had a level. Like, these are the things where I'm like, is it really magic or was she just practical?
Right. I mean, the whole, like, moving a river. It's like, well, did she build a dam? And just have the water go a different way?
So did she just dig a new hole?
I don't... But apparently, you know, she's the worker of miracles. So unfortunately, her church in Caldera had fallen into ruin, and so it wasn't until 1875 that it was rebuilt by a Protestant church of Ireland. So she has been regarded as, quote-unquote, Mary of the Gael, a saint for women, shepherds, beggars, refugees, and those in childbirth. So her feast day, February 1st, is the same as symbolic, as I mentioned. And so her associations with Imbolc have long raised suspicions about the possible pre-Christian origins of a cult at Kuldir. Because again, all of this is like magic, witchery, paganism mixed in with Christianity and monks and stuff, right?
Just, like just magic. It's fine. It's alchemy.
So today, some people keep St. Bridget's Day by weaving a special reed cross or visiting a holy well whose waters were blessed by her, and are believed to heal illness. The Brigidine sisters of Kuldir attend their ever-burning flame for Bridget as nuns did in the Middle Ages. These seem like they are pretty modest observances compared to the massive parades that we do for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that's cute.
That was Lisa's little addition that I thought was funny.
Funny. So, you know, like they do for St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah. So since there's not a lot known about her, and all of the sources kind of say a lot of the same things, that's her story. And I got the information from Wikipedia, Smithsonian Mag, AP News, Britannica, and Catholic.org.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know it was kind of a short one.
No, but I think it's important all the same. It's
so wild to me that I was like, well, there's got to be a woman. And then unbeknownst to me, there's full ass celebrations going on for her last month. And it's the 1500th anniversary of her death. I mean, like, I don't know why these things keep happening where they like pop in my head. But intuition is real. And maybe with St. Bridget's, you know, witchery, magical touch.
I would say it's probably by design. It's right? Her fault. I'm here for this, though. It's cool. It's totally cool.
Yeah. So,
well, thank you.
I was pretty fascinated by this whole situation. There's got to be much more information. It has to be much more in depth than this. Obviously, I would say you would want to check in with her story and, you know, other journalists who have really invested the time to do the digging because the information is so old. If they were campaigning for 3 years, there's got to be a way that they were able to prove that this woman is worthy of her own holiday.
I mean, I feel like we could also just go to Ireland. Fuck it. They have a good time over there. I've seen it.
Yeah, they do. Everyone who goes to Ireland says they love it.
I imagine so. My grandma supposedly had Irish in her. I'd be so curious to get my test done just to see, but at the same time, I don't want my DNA floating around on the black market.
It's not that much DNA. What do you think they're going to do with it?
I know. No, it's not. I don't think they're going to do anything with it. I mean, like, my coding would be out there. But it is, I don't know. What is it, 23andMe, that company, they got in trouble?
I don't know which one got in trouble. I don't know if it was Ancestry or 23andMe or one of them. Several hundreds that they now have.
One of them got hacked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nowadays, like everything gets... I got 3 letters in 1 week one time.
Oh, that's cool. Love that for us.
And it's all healthcare.
Yes. Crazy. Yep. Well, okay. So I have another quick story because I wasn't sure how to fit this one in, but I can do a quick one.
Oh, okay.
Because I just ran across this the other day. The origin of silk. Silk was discovered by a woman.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew that, but like, I didn't know what you were saying. I thought you were saying soak, like soak in a bathtub.
No, silk.
But you said silk, and then I was saying, oh, yeah, now it's clicking. Like, now I hear the word.
Yes. So, Li Zhu, she was a Chinese empress, and she was actually the wife of the Yellow Emperor. So I'm not super familiar with Chinese history. I know of it, obviously, but I don't know eras or anything like that. So it was like 27th century BC, so like pre-St. Bridget.
Yeah.
So apparently she was having her tea outside in the afternoon one day, and like a cocoon from a silkworm fell into it. And apparently when the silkworm cocoon falls into like a hot water or hot liquid, it will start to unravel and it'll be a single piece of silk. So she was like mesmerized by it. And then when she pulled the silk string out, she could actually like, she went all the way across the garden with it and it didn't break. And then she realized that this actually could be useful. And so then she found there are other types of like silkworms out and about. So she also found that she could undo the other cocoons as well. And so that's when she persuaded her husband to give her a full grove of trees so that she could essentially harvest and domesticate these worms. So she's attributed with inventing all of the stuff that they use today still to harvest silk. Like there's a big circular maze type thing that they put the worms in, and the worms make the cocoons, and then they take all of the cocoons and they put it in water and they beat it all up, and they use these sticks to then lead a piece of silk onto this machine that'll then spool it up. And then what they do is they let it dry, and then they use it for, and then they weave it into whatever kind of fabrics. But I thought that was so interesting, but there's just not a lot enough. There's not a lot enough on her to do a full story.
That's cool.
Enough. Yeah. So shout out to both females, legendary females, for one, just being straight stellar in your regard. This one for finding silk. Convincing her husband.
I was gonna say she had to convince her husband. Saint Bridget, she I don't know if she had to convince anyone, but she made an impression on a man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in both situations, they were like, just, you know, if you wouldn't mind moving out of the way.
Could you leave, please?
Would you give me what I want and then go away?
Which I feel that every day. I feel
I mean, I don't know if the silkworm lady's husband went away or not, but
he did.
Probably not.
He passed away, but still.
Oh.
Again, there's not much history on that, but yeah.
That's crazy.
Right?
A worm falls in your tea or hot water or whatever?
Yeah.
Just like randomly?
A cocoon fell out of the tree into her tea. So wind was blowing.
And then can you imagine saying to your husband, I need you to support me in this future business endeavor of harvesting worm jizz, basically.
Listen, this thing fell in my tea and I want to make money off of it. So you support me or nah? Well, shit. Thank you. Thank you for doing the work, even though you're in the middle of a life change. I appreciate you for that.
Oh, yeah. You know, always can find a way to squeeze it in. It's International Women's History Month. Exactly. You can't flake out during Women's History Month.
No, you cannot.
You got to come. You got to show up. They did. I mean, the least I can do is a little book report research.
That's the least I could do.
They're out here changing rivers and,
you know,
pulling cocoons apart,
fixing a problematic door.
that one was funny.
With witchcraft.
That one was funny.
AKA common sense and engineering skills, like an understanding of physics.
A little perseverance, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a little patience to not get frustrated.
Yeah. I want to know too, like, did she just take that hinge and completely seed it? Or, you know what I mean? Like, what did she do? Was she just like, you guys are fucking dumb? Bink, bink. Okay, we're good. Is this good? Are you okay now? Can I go on with my day? Like, it's got to be that easy, right?
Oh, And
is it,
well,
is it Attagirl time?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's Attagirl time, which is when we pat ourselves on the back for something good that we've done or something good that's happened to us. I think you have an Attagirl ready to go. Did you want to go?
Yeah, I got one. So aside, well, I did go do my taxes today, so I'm pretty happy about that. But I just realized my true Attagirl, which I'd been saving up, is that I've officially switched over from using bleach and super harsh chemicals to clean my home. And I've been successful. I'm satisfied. I'm not weirded out by it. But I just use baking soda, Castile soap, and white vinegar. That's been, you know, soaking with some lemons and orange peels and a little bit of pine to make a not super fucking potent vinegar smell.
Yeah.
And it worked out.
Yeah.
It's clean as fuck. And it was cheaper than buying a bunch of expensive chemicals that give me migraines, because I already have enough of those thanks to this weather. As you know.
I do. Yeah, I actually found that the combination of water, Dawn dish soap, and vinegar was the best for getting stains out of carpet.
Yep.
So
here we are.
Yeah. I actually, with the new dishwasher, or it's not a new dishwasher, but at the now new house that's gently used. At the used house that I've now moved into.
The used house.
The
God
dishwasher.
Bless it. That does not make it sound very appealing, does it?
I know. I know.
I would like to get my used, like, what is it, resale? It's not like you found it at the Goodwill, but you kind of went thrifting for a house.
So for the dishwasher, I ran it once with just dishwasher detergent in it. And then I ran it again with a cup full, like a mug, 3/4 full or so of just white vinegar. And the cup came back out like dirty with stuff in it.
Ooh, nice.
I know. It's pretty satisfying.
Yes. I do also use this sort of similar, but I just add salt to my laundry soap. And then I'll use like washing soda and borax to really kick it up a notch. And so my freaking washing machine for my clothes.
Yeah. And I think you meant baking soda.
Yeah. No, washing soda. There's
what's
two different
washing
kinds.
Soda?
So baking soda is the kind that's like food friendly. Washing soda has been baked, if you will, for a little bit longer, so the chemicals are more.
I just put the baking soda right in with the whites to make them white.
No, yeah, you can
or keep
that.
Them white or whatever.
Yeah, you can do that too. But like washing soda is like baking soda on steroids. But it's like for it's like borax. It's just washing things, cleaning things, whatever. But I did a big soak day yesterday and big soaked one of my stuffed animals that I have. My goodness, the amount of dirt that was left over in the water after this big soak. I'm like, I'm about to do this with all my pillows, all the rest of the things I put on my body, like so much stuff.
Oh man.
But yeah, so I have officially switched over to hippie life and subscribed to Castile soap and baking soda forever and always.
I mean, they're tried and true for sure.
Well, also, so I was doing some research because, like, I love bleach just because it's, like, a guaranteed clean. But what I found is that while bleach does kill mold and bacteria, it actually creates the perfect breeding ground for fungus. Like, it never gets rid of fungus. So it can, you know, create that sort of, like, base layer for that to happen if you're not able to keep up on your cleaning, but white vinegar just kills all of it. Like without a question. Mold, bacteria, fungus, all of it just dies. So why would I use bleach when I'm missing one of the three?
I guess, yeah. I've done a combo of bleach and vinegar together.
Oh, is that loud? Are you allowed chemically to do that? I feel like I would make mustard gas on accident if I went ahead and did that.
No, you just use like a capful in a big bucket of water. Like it's very distilled.
Yeah, still.
But no, I've definitely used bleach and vinegar together.
All right, cool. I haven't just haven't looked it up yet.
These are things that, like, you know, came from my mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Just use the baking soda. Just use the vinegar.
Yeah.
So with my towels, I always put vinegar in the wash with them.
Yes, it makes them so freaking soft. It's incredible. But also, it stops it from being icky. Kills everything. But so I use like a Castile soap and baking soda paste now. My God. When I tell you bubbles, the amount of bubbles that happen after doing it is intense. It's so thick. It's actually very satisfying.
I bet. Oh, yes. Goodness. Well, my attagirl is that I'm getting everything in place and organized at the new used house. And so yesterday I was claiming it as a down day. I really was.
Mm-hmm.
But then was like, oh, wait, I have to work and I have to do the podcast and I have to go back to real life tomorrow.
Aww.
And so I like got my office all set up. I got stuff moved out of the living room so the painter could do the ceiling in there. And I really got this burst of energy yesterday evening. And I'm so glad I did, because I don't know how I would have gotten it together this morning. There's no way.
I mean, I'm proud of you.
There's no way. So I was just like, good for me for, you know, setting everything up, checking my emails, logging onto the computer. My password had expired. So
that's fun.
Because I feel like anytime that you're like, oh, I got time, then something like that happens, right? And you're like, mm-hmm. I clearly now have no time.
Well, I had time until somebody fucking took it from me.
So good for me for not waiting till the last minute.
Yep, proud of you on that one for sure.
Oh, man.
I need to do better about that too, honestly.
You do. You're like, I got time. And then before you know it, you're like, well, those other things happened and now I don't have time and now I'm in panic and now my shoulders are tight.
Well, I just gotta quit hunching here and get her done.
I have a massage scheduled tomorrow.
Very cool.
My body is feeling its age for sure.
I bet mine is, and I didn't do half of what you did.
I've been doing the most is what I've been doing.
Sure have.
So if you liked what you heard today, please rate, review, subscribe. If you have a Hoe of History you'd like to request, you can email us at homancepodcast@gmail.com or send us a DM on Instagram at homance_chronicles. We still have a closed group on Facebook that's kind of lingering out there, the Homance Chronicles, a judgment-free zone. Yeah, I think that's all the things. Tell your friends.
Yeah, that is all the things. Homance out.